I'm Steve Clark with Dr. Art Evans, entomologist, and this is What's Bugging You? A fond look at the animals we love to hate. Floating over this hill on which I live in my yard, there's always lots of, I guess they're dragonflies. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're damselflies. I don't know.
Well, you might have both. Dragonflies are more larger, more powerfully built, and when they're at rest, they're holding their wings straight out or maybe slightly forward. Damselflies are much more delicately built, and usually when they're at rest, they've got their wings folded over their backs or just slightly spread.
Well, I guess then mine are mostly dragonflies.
I would think so if they're out in the open. Usually the females are away from water, and the males have territories near water. And when the females are ready to mate, they'll come into those territories, and the males will pounce on them and mate, and then the females lay their eggs in water with the males in attendance.
Well, what would be the explanation of having 20 or 30 of these things over my yard at the same time? I mean, how big is the territory?
Well, the territories they've found are usually about the same size as the visual acuity of that species. So if a male can see 30 feet out, that's about the size of his territory.
They don't seem to be actively engaged in anything in
particular. Well, there are some species that seasonally are attracted to standing water in parking lots or open fields, schoolyards, and circling around. And oftentimes they're feeding. If you look at an adult damselfly or dragonfly, they've got spikes on their legs, and they'll hold their legs underneath their body like a basket, and they swoop back and forth, scooping up mosquitoes and gnats and midges. They don't even have to land to feed. They'll be munching along on all these little bodies that they've gathered in the air.
Saves time. It's like a commuter.
That's right. One of the cool things about dragonflies and damselflies is they have really good field characters. They have very distinctive color patterns, and many of them are easily identifiable on sight or with binoculars. In fact, birders have driven this watchable wildlife movement, which sort of started with butterflies once you got away from the bird watching aspects. And now that's moved over to dragonfly watching. And again, the reason is because they're large enough, they're distinctive enough that you can look at them, see their behaviors, and you can make fairly accurate identifications as to species just based on their appearance. You don't necessarily have to have them in hand.
Do you have any idea about what the largest dragonfly is?
The largest dragonfly in the U.S. is found in western United States, Walsingham's Darner, and they have a wingspan of about 4 inches, as I recall. The largest dragonfly damselfly in the world is a damselfly found in South America, and they have a wingspan of almost 7 inches across. In Spanish, they refer to them as helicopters. The way they make their living, this giant species, is they pick out insects that have become trapped in spider webs, and they actually steal the prey of spiders.
I'd like to hear more about damselflies and dragonflies in another episode.
Well, I think we can do that because we haven't even touched on what they do where they spend most of their lives, and that's underwater.
Bring your snorkel. Dr. Art Evans is the author of the National Wildlife Federation Field Guide to Insects and Spiders of North America and of What's Bugging You. You'll find photos, audio, and a link to Art's blog at ideastations.org/radio/bugs.